If I could gavel in a very short session of the Mutual Admiration Society, I want to thank Brother Gary and his dear family for loving me as they do. While they were away yesterday, he gave me the code to his house and said, just go and make yourself at home. And the same is true of this place, too. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate your prayers for us at Shiloh. They're being realized in ways you might not know. Come visit. And so with that, I'll gavel out the meeting of the Mutual Admiration Society. My dad's one that actually told me that when I was first starting out in my ministry, there was a tendency to want to brag on all the preachers that were there, you know, show respect and all that. And I'm don't misunderstand me. But he literally told me one day after church, and he said, be careful, son. Don't turn this into a meeting of the Mutual Admiration Society. And so I say it with fun in my heart, but also with great meaning. If I had a title for today's sermon, and this is brand new. You folks are guinea pigs. I've never spoken on this subject before in this way. But if I had a title for it, it would be, Brother, Can You Spare Some Change? Now, that's a question, right? Brother Gary can diagram the sentence for us. It's a question, so something's being asked. But what is being asked for is change. So, with that, I want to just spread this out a little bit, but it's all good, bro. It's all good. It's all good. I want it just all nailed together. I'd like to read a few verses and then go from there. So just going to read these. They're probably familiar to you. Hope they are. From Jeremiah 13 and verse 23, the question is asked, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? The answer is implied. Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Just hang with that. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. It'd be good if I'd had all these memorized. But if when I turn to it, I know I got it right. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. These are not in any particular order, but hopefully we're getting your mind on the subject. Brother, can you spare some change? Philippians chapter 3. Verse 18 and following. For many walk, this is Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Acts chapter 6. I like to hear pages turning. I really do. You've probably heard it said, all teaching is not preaching, but all preaching should be teaching. If there's not a teaching component, then what is it? Acts chapter 6, okay, I'm going to have to begin at verse 9 here to get down to verse 14. And there arose certain in the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and of Asia, and disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So what did they do? Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." I like that last verse there, chapter 6. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Got a couple more. Over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 11, Paul is making the case, and I invite you to go and read the context of all these verses, by the way. Verse 11 of Hebrews 7, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron?" Verse 12, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." And then the last one I want to look at is in Proverbs. This was a popular verse just a few years ago. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" Brother, can you spare some change? Questions, asking, change. Change, we love some kind of change, don't we? In fact, I just looked up the word change in my concordance, and you'll find a lot of changing going on in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And almost nearly all of the usage of the word change is change of raiment. You need to change of clothes. I wonder if that points to something in the New Testament, Brother Gary. Change. We all got up this morning and probably changed out of our pajamas into our go-to-meeting clothes. You might notice that I have a little change in my wardrobe compared to the last time you saw me a year ago. What does that mean? Change. We love some change. And then there's other kind of change we don't like. And I'm fascinated with that idea of, or understanding of, what kind of change is good. And how do we go about asking for that kind of change? Brother, can you spare some change? The only reason I use that as a title is because it's a question that asks about change, that's all. You know, Brother Job, he had a lot of questions about change. I said I didn't have any more. I've got other scripture I want to go to this morning. Job chapter 14. Oh, he asked a wonderful question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. There's some change. I guess there's a lot of change that's coming, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you like it or not. Can I get an amen?
That's exactly right.
And then there's a whole lot of change that we've actually got plenty to do with. And I've kind of worn this phrase out. That's all the free will you can handle.
Yes, I love that.
Change. We've gone through some changes at Shiloh recently.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
They changed pastors. That was a good thing, I'm just telling you. I'm thankful for it. Y'all met Brother Kevin. He's come here, I believe. Change. Big change. That's a big change for a church. And I know I'm probably speaking to a group that are well acquainted with that kind of scenario, where someone is the pastor of a church for years and years and is loved by all and wonderful and all is good, and then change comes. Again, some change you can't stop it. But then there's other kinds of change that you can actually have a hand in, that change being good or not. I mentioned we've had a lot of change at Shiloh, and so far it's been for the good, praise the Lord. We recently had a little in-gathering. I'll just call it a revival.
Amen, brother.
And I don't know, did you tell the folks here at all about Brother Marty's sermon? You did? Did anybody listen to that sermon Brother Marty Smith and Brother Jesse Stripling preached? It was the first week in September. I've got to relate this, and I'm not sure just why. I don't want you to think I'm boasting in it in any way, because I'm not. But we heard a sermon at Shiloh that Sunday afternoon, and it had an effect on people. It changed their hearts. And as I looked and I saw people weeping,
yes,
at the preaching of a subject, a topic that I was very familiar with. It wasn't anything new per se. It was all right here. But something about how that message was attended by the Holy Ghost, it changed hearts to the degree there was actually weeping. It's a good thing. I had to ask myself later, when was the last time that the preaching of the gospel that made me weep in a good way? Too many of God's people are so stoic and rigid that they're not able to even shed a tear to the message of grace.
God help us
to change. But what was that? That got me kind of curious. I wanted to, with the engineering background that I've got, I wanted to understand why, how can we... Can we handle this? And then real quick, I had to check myself and say, no, you can't put God in a box. There's no way to take what happened that afternoon and can it and then open it over here the next Sunday or in another place. It's mysterious, isn't it? But it had an effect. The next Sunday we had three people join us, a husband and wife, a girl, their granddaughter. They came to church three times and joined the church. We didn't know them from Adam. Was that because of that message that was preached? I don't know. It sure didn't hurt. Amen? The next Sunday, three more joined, one of which had been sitting on the bench for 25 years. Strange, isn't it? Brother Ken, where are you going this morning? You trying to get us all jazzed up? No, I want us to think about change and ask the one that can and is able for the right kind. Because brothers and sisters, it's coming, whether you like it or not. I want to like it, don't you? I want to like the change that's coming. When I think about Brother Job there, as he says, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, yeah. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. I like that attitude, Brother Job. Of course, there's not much else you can do, right? But the attitude towards it. Many of God's children are just, oh, we're so terrible. The world's so terrible. Yeah. You see, there was a change back there in the garden.
That's right.
Right? Change. Change. Hallelujah. The Lord's given us a remedy. I think there's so many examples of good change that's scary. Yeah. Sister Christy, Brother Seth, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. There's some change coming to your house soon.
Yeah. Oh. Amen.
It's good change.
Yes, it is a good one.
It's good change. Church, it's good change.
Good.
But I got a pretty good imagination, and I can think that from Sister Christie's standpoint, it's scary.
Yeah.
You've never done that before.
Right.
And too often, forgive me, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody unless it's myself. Remember, the preacher points, he's got three pointing back at him. There's a tendency for those that have already been through changes to not remember and consider the fearful nature of it for the one that's going through it for the first time.
So true.
Can that apply to discipleship? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got to tell a little story, and Brother Gary, I hope it don't get you in trouble. How many of you have recently seen the movie that recently came out in 2023 called The Jesus Revolution? You've seen it?
You're watching it. You said it.
I told you I might get you in trouble. It's the story, and I think it's okay to say, I recommend that you watch it. I think I'm talking to a group of people that know how to eat the meat and spit out the bones. Because you've got a good pastor that teaches. But it's a story about Calvary Baptist Church out on the West Coast in the late 1960s. Something happened there. Bear with me. Something happened there that many just couldn't deal with. It was an established church. I think they were of the Pentecostal faith or order, which is kind of different to start with. But yet, tradition had set in. Routine had set in to the point where everybody was real comfortable. Mainly gray hairs. And they came each Sunday and did what they do. This was during a very tumultuous time in our history. 1968, I was 6 years old, but very aware of what was going on, especially what kind of toys were available for Christmas. 1969 was a big year for me. We landed on the moon, and I got my Major Matt Mason space station. Still got it. But a lot was going on. The world was in turmoil. Vietnam is a whole other country, as Forrest would say. lot going on, racial tensions, in a way very similar to the day we live in, wars, rumors of wars. And the pastor of this church, Chuck Smith was his name, had a daughter, I think it was, and the daughter was trying to tell him about teenagers. You know, hippies. And the father really just couldn't go there. He said, well, I'd like to meet one. In his mind, it was not possible for the hippie teenager to love Jesus. That's why they were referred to often as the Jesus freaks. See, don't forget, all hippies weren't drug addicts. In fact, looking back on what happened there, it's the credit is due. Many, 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 many teenagers were saved from death, drug addiction, and all the rest. That generation of kids were looking for truth, believe it or not, and they couldn't find it in the church house. There was this divide, this generation gap. I'm looking back, I'm 62, I'm about to be 62, looking back on this, and I'm like, wow, I remember how this, you know, was kind of going on then. But it came to a place, I got to hasten along, it came to the point where the church had to deal with the reality that they were either going to continue to minister to themselves or they're somehow going to change to be able to interact with this new generation. In one of the, there was one scene in the, it literally split the church. It came, the old guard, the deacons came to the pastor one day and said, you got to put this. See, because the Jesus freak friend of the daughter brought his friends to church the next Sunday, and they began to fill the house up. They actually, the deacon brethren came to the pastor and said, you got to do something about this, or you're going to lose some of your donors. And they did. And another scene, one of the brothers came and said, we've got to do something about these kids coming into the church with no shoes on. They're ruining our brand new shag carpet. Yeah. I thought, wow, what a contrast there. They'd made the change from hardwood floors to shag carpet, but didn't know how to go from there. And Chuck Smith's answer was not to buy them all shoes, or even to tell them to wipe their feet. His answer, and again, I'm not saying he's all correct in all this, but I feel like his heart was in the right place. His answer was the next Sunday, he was sitting in the front door of the church with a big tub of water, and the kids were lined up, and he washed their feet as they came into the church. And he had a little Bible to back it up. Where am I going with all this? Well, it's not all good that what happened, because in just a short period of time, even though thousands were being touched, things started to get out of hand. The fantastic, the miraculous. And so as I watched the movie and afterwards, my takeaway was two things. One, you can't put God in a box. And number two, some rules are required. Amen. And it's the truth today. I'm thankful that we have the church in our day in this place. Aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Never, ever, ever forget that it is a miracle that it exists at all. Because if it weren't a miracle, it'd go away. There's so much confusion and I guess we've always got to, at some point, quote Sonny Powell's, we don't split into sawdust. Well, you can apply that. It's a miracle that there's any truth at all in this world.
That's so true.
Change. change. How do we ask God for change in the right kind? Well, let's go back over to 1 John. I like this. I really do. I want this. I want some of this. 1 John. It's almost. I think I need to read most of it here. Chapter 5. Whosoever, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Full stop.
Full stop. Actually, there's a colon there. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that he is begotten of him. What? So much for our sieve of church acceptance, or what am I trying to say? Lord, deliver us from the thinking that someone needs to understand everything just right before they join the church. Does anybody in the house want to raise their hand and say out loud that they understand it all as they should? Anybody?
Yeah.
Woo.
No.
Lord help. But don't let that keep you from pursuing the truth. It's kind of like, maybe you've run into this. Even though I'm guilty of having trespassed something in Scripture, does that eliminate my ability to declare what God's Word says about it? It shouldn't, but you'd be amazed at, oh, who are you to tell me when you... The truth stands all by itself, is what I'm getting at with that. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we could keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's actually sounding pretty simplistic to me. I think the hang-up is when men begin to define what it is to keep the commandments of God. Anybody in the house want to raise the hand and say they keep the commandments of God? I honestly don't know that of anyone that ever has, other than the Lord Himself.
That's right. Exactly.
But yet man, in his wisdom, and oh my, and we wonder. Verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that beareth record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. A lot of Bible study in those two verses. But we believe in the Trinity. There are three that bear record, witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, and we actually should, if it's true witness, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And that gets into that, I marvel now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember the first time I heard someone, it might have even been Brother Gary, declare that truth, that there's something within me right now that's ready to be in the presence of God. Let that sink in.
Yes. Amen.
There's something within you that is perfect, without sin. And if you understand about the nature of man and his fall in the garden and all of that, you understand real quick, if that something's in me, then somebody had to put it there.
Amen.
I didn't gin it up on my own. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave him. of his son. Not the record that God gave his son, but the record that God gave of his son. Did you catch that? He's talking about the word itself. Aren't you thankful that we have the Bible? Did you see that verse?
Absolutely.
Verse, last part of verse 10 there, Brother Gary? The record that God gave of his son. I like that. And this is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life, and that his life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, this is where I wanted to get with this. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's saying, to you that believe, I want you to believe.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Amen.
Kind of goes along with that great commission where Jesus would say, go into all the world teaching men, or make disciples, teaching men, baptizing, teaching them to observe all things I've given you. And lo, I'm with you until the end of the world. Teaching, baptism, teaching. Again, I don't think there's ever going to come the day when I know it all before I leave this world. We're in a constant state of change.
Exactly right.
Brother, can you spare some change? Verse 14, look at this. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Boy, you wouldn't believe how many times I've had that response from folks. Well, Brother Ken, yeah, I understand. It's the Lord's will. Well, yeah, I know that. I'm not going to make God do anything he didn't want to do.
That's right.
Any more than I'm going to make somebody do anything they don't want to do. Now, as a parent, there is that time of life where the parent has power over, control, command over the little ones, and hopefully you're bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And as Brother Seth told me yesterday, raise good kids. But after that point, you really can't make anybody do anything. We can't make people change. Oh, I marvel at it. I'm declaring this, but I hope you begin to see that it's God that can provide the change, but that doesn't leave us with our hands empty and nothing to do. Let's go on. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I want some of this. Colon. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Too often, God's people have the attitude when it comes to asking God for anything. Well, it needs to be according to his will, Brother Steele. Yeah, I already said that. Of course it does. He's not going to do anything against his will. But the tendency is, I want it now. I want it now. I want it my way of understanding. I want it in my timing. I want it in my color and shape and flavor and size. I want it in my size. Ouchie. But that's not what the verse says. It says, if we know that he hear us, do you know God hears you when you pray? Huh? If you don't know, talk to Brother Gary. Or somebody. We need to get that fixed. If we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And I love that word, petition. It literally means to request or entreaty to a sovereign. When I graduated from Georgia Tech, I had to petition the school to graduate. Now, I still don't understand that. Okay, because I'd taken all the classes, all of them, plus some extras. But I, even with all the grades weren't all straight A's, I get that. In fact, there was only two or three that were. But I had to petition the school to let me graduate. And it wasn't fill out the form and they could hand it back to you, you're graduating. No. This took a year, or the last part of the senior year. To petition. Folks, we need to understand when we pray, first thing, we need to understand, believe. God hears you. It's got to be according to His will, or you just forget that stuff. But don't forget to make the petition. I know it's a little cheesy. Fill out the form. Go to the effort, pray, make the request, ask, beg God.
Yeah, Brother Ken, you need to be careful what you pray for.
Yeah. Don't confuse me with the obvious. Right? Again, I hope you understand that. But this idea of what kind of change to ask for, Lord. I know, unless the Lord, if the Lord tarries His coming, I know that I'm going to continue to age.
Brother Gary?
I know it. I'm satisfied. I'm past that time of life when I thought that I would continue to be 9 foot tall and bulletproof. Those days are gone. I'm going to continue to thin out and expand, it seems. I'm making progress, brother. But Lord, help me change as You would have me to change. Lord, help me to understand what it is that I... Let me read something to you. My dear wife, Leanne, I would give credit to the author, but I don't know who the author is. If you want to know, I can find out. But this is a paragraph. I've got a photograph out of this book. This little paragraph is headed, "Where Our Unchanging Hope Lies." The sadness or frustration we feel about changes to something that we believe to be unchanging reveals our tendency to ascribe what is true only of God to people, possessions, or circumstances that are not of Him. To expect earthly places to be heavenly. I tell myself that my love of routine and my aversion to change are a longing for the God who does not change. But if I'm honest, they are just plain idolatry. In truth, I'm telling temporary changing things, I need You to be God. Please just stay the same. Wow. Isn't that rich? I may have missed some of the young people there. I don't know. But this idea that things aren't changing, oh, my word. The sooner you can grab hold of the fact that we are changing and this world's a changing, the better off you'll be. We need to be focused on good change. And I guess I'm going to close by going to a very familiar place in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, Paul was, he experienced a change on the road to Damascus. You're talking about change. I'm talking 180 change. Now, you can debate, was he born again that day? Was he converted that day? Was this? That's all I know is that man came away different. God touched him literally. And from then on, his desire was that others might know more about this Jesus. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3, "For this cause." Now, he's just described the mystery. Let me, oh my goodness. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You get the idea that Paul was just amazed that God would choose him to do anything, much less declare the riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Not relationship, but the fellowship, to have part in it, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Aren't you glad you live on this side of the cross? I am. Who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. How blessed we are. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love that. That's a lot to be said there. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Not this outer man that's wearing out. Brother Harold, you need to say amen back there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith to be at home. That being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And notice that's 4D. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what Paul wanted for all that would hear him or read after him. That's what we're doing today. Verse 20, now unto him that is able, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. This world is going to keep on changing. Well, there's some parts of it I wish it would stay the same. I really do. But I've got to pray, Lord, help me to understand if something is to be preserved, it ought to be pretty important to prevent change to it. I think what we believe as a church is one of those things. The truth of how God saves his people.
Absolutely.
That's not going to change. God hasn't changed.
Amen.
But we need to think more about what those important things are. And I think we're looking at it right here in this place. But God blesses our prayer. If there's one today that if not profess the Lord in your life as your Savior, made that change, you need to do it today. The church was built by Jesus Christ for God's people.
Amen.
Do you believe yourself to be a child of God? Then you need to join the church.
Amen.
It's for you. May God bless you. Is our prayer.